things when I hear on the radio tonight about Obama being a Christian but not being good because of his pro-choice and homosexuality stances.
Here's a recent comment from the Issues Etc. comment line.
Yet I see no evidence of any literature that in the Bible that you stated that says that these things are against biblical teachings.
The Issues Etc. comment line, available 24/7, 618-223-8382.
The Bible gives President Trump the moral authority to use whatever force necessary, including assassination or even war, to take out an evildoer like Kim Jong-un.
The Democratic Party has been led astray by the abortion rights movement that thinks that this abortion messaging is a winning strategy. It simply isn't a winning strategy outside California and New York.
The Reformation is the crystallization in God's providence of the gospel and of the authority of God's word. And it is a reminder to us that it's exactly what we need today.
This is Flo from Idaho. Locked and loaded Lutheran ladies love listening to the straight shooters at Issues Etc.
I guess if you want to understand the Reformation, you can go about it three different ways. There are more ways than this, but three different ways that suggest themselves immediately. First, you could just kind of pick a Reformation author like Martin Luther and just start reading. You would spend a lot of time reading because he wrote a lot, and even by his own account, much of what he wrote, he didn't really think was that worth keeping, but some of it really is great stuff. You could read Luther himself, but you're going to have to put it all in the context of early Luther, late Luther, all those kinds of things, and sift through a lot of stuff that, well, would be above your head and things like that. You could go straight to, say, a document like the Lutheran Confessions, the Book of Concord, published in 1580, where Luther's theology is crystallized, where it is checked against Scripture, and where the testimony of the whole church is brought together to make a public and formal confession of what the Lutheran Reformation was all about. That's the best way, by the way. Or you could go to an interpreter of Luther who may or may not take those confessions, that official confession of the Reformation, that seriously. And there are a lot of interpreters of the Reformation and of Luther. One of them, Gerhard Ferdi, a Lutheran 20th century Lutheran interpreter of Lutheran theology. We're going to be looking at his teachings on Issues Etc. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this Monday afternoon, the 21st of August. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about the teachings of 20th century Lutheran theologian Dr. Gerhard Ferdi with Dr. Jack Kilcrease a little later on the program. In the meantime, we will be going through the Issues Etc. comment line. And then in hour two of Issues Etc., we'll be looking forward to Sunday morning according to the three-year lectionary, the gospel reading, Peter declaring that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ. Dr. Carl Fikencher of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, will be our guest. The Issues Etc. comment line is a line that we leave open for our listeners because we know that so many of them listen on demand, the vast majority. So whenever, wherever you listen, you can always call the Issues Etc. comment line and join the conversation, ask a question, make a suggestion. It's 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Let's begin with the listener comment about Christians and vocation.
Hi there. I just finished listening to your interview with Gracie Olmsted regarding vocation and the role of motherhood. And I had a thought that I thought I would share or run past you. I appreciated her view of motherhood and looking at it as a vocation as opposed to just a job. But it struck me that this is also something that we need to do a better job of in the church in a broader perspective. It's not just in the role of motherhood that this concept has been lost, but within Christians and especially young people as they grow up and look for opportunities and jobs to serve in, that we as a church have probably not done the best job of encouraging them and looking at how they can use their gifts and looking at how they can serve their Lord and their neighbor using their vocation. And many times young people will say, well, this is a job that I can do and I can earn a lot of money doing that. Well, that's not the right perspective. The Lord wants us to view the gifts that he has given to us in that sense of vocation. So while I appreciated Gracie's viewpoint on that perspective from the motherhood side, I think we also need to do a better job of this in the church, of encouraging our young people to view their gifts and talents and viewing the work that they can do as a vocation in every aspect of life as well. So I just thought I'd share that comment. Thank you for all you do. Bye.
That is a very, very good suggestion. I actually have something that is available to any listener who's interested. I wrote an article years and years ago called Locus and Focus. I think it's called God's Will for Your Daily Life, and it's all about Christian vocation, kind of Christian vocation simplified but not oversimplified, and it deals with some basic questions, regardless of what your job, your vocation may be, some basic questions that offer some guidance there and shows exactly how comforting the biblical doctrine of Christian vocation actually is. Now, the reason we do focus on things like the vocation of motherhood or the vocation of father or things like that occasionally is, but there are a couple reasons for it. Some of these are what I would call fundamental vocations. They're the kind of vocations that are kind of built into the order of creation and of life. Not all vocations are this way. Say a farmer, someone could be a farmer and be anything else. Someone could decide not to be a farmer. Everyone benefits from having farmers. We need farmers. In a sense, they're part of the created order, but not in the same way that, say, father or mother is. So we focus on those because they're kind of fundamental and they're more broadly applicable. We also focus on them because, quite frankly, we need to respond both to the errors in the culture about motherhood, and that's a lot of what we do in those programs, but also we need to respond to the errors in the church with regard to those vocations. So we tend to focus on those, not to the exclusion of others. Now, if you want to get that article that I wrote years back called Locus and Focus, just send me an email, todd@issuesetc.org. Ask for Locus and Focus or the vocation article, and I'd be happy to send it out to you.
This is Jason from North Carolina. I have a question concerning the Lord's Supper. Evangelicals will use grape juice because they say potential of alcoholism, and so they just give all their people grape juice. The LCMS will serve wine, but will serve certain people grape juice because of alcoholism. The question I guess I have is, it's more of a tradition than that Lutherans or the LCMS serves wine. The vast majority that I have discovered, the vast majority of LCMS pastors believe that the Lord has never commanded us to use wine. He said use the fruit of the vine. And so grape juice is the fruit of the vine. And even though we know that what Jesus was holding in his hand is wine, he never commanded it. So therefore, it's okay to use grape juice, to give grape juice to certain individuals. So basically, it's just more of a tradition that we use wine in our services, because we still use grape juice, and it still be the body of Christ. Just evangelicals just gives grape juice to everybody. We just give grape juice to certain people. I'm very confused about this, and I just would like to have someone just please clear up this obvious, it seems like, kind of speaking out of both sides of our mouth. I appreciate it if you would do that. Thank you.
Well, I think your confusion stems not from the actual practice of Lutherans or what it is Lutherans believe about the practice of the Lord's Supper. Your confusion stems from the fact that you talked to some pastors who have it absolutely wrong. I'm a little surprised that the majority of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod pastors that you spoke to gave the answer that grape juice is fine, just as good as wine because it's fruit of the vine, which is not our position. Christ, we do what Christ instituted, and he instituted the reception of his body and blood with bread and with wine. When Jesus says fruit of the vine, he means wine. He doesn't mean anything that comes out of a grape. He didn't mean grape jelly, right? No, he didn't. He meant what he used in the Lord's Supper. And so We want certain things. We want things that are certain and sure, and we always stay right there with Christ in his institution of these. Even in the elements, we stay with Christ in this institution so that we might not introduce uncertainty, which obviously these pastors who have given you this answer have done. Fruit of the vine means wine. There are no exceptions, although there are ways to deal with pastoral issues regarding alcohol and alcoholism. And please talk to more LCMS pastors and see if they can straighten out the misimpression the ones you've spoken to have given you. When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Dr. Jack Kilcrease. This is a conversation long in coming. We're going to be talking about the teachings of 20th century Lutheran theologian Dr. Gerhard Ferdy. He's author of an article for Logia titled Gerhard Ferdy, A Short Appreciation and Critique. Then we'll be looking forward to Sunday morning, according to the three-year lectionary, with Dr. Carl Fakencher of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Stay tuned for our conversation on the theology of Gerhard Ferdy right after this.
Children are a heritage from the Lord, but what of those who've not been given the gift of a child? The cross of barrenness affects not only childless couples, it affects the family, friends, and pastors who love and care for them. I'm Katie Schuerman, and I'm partnering with Emmanuel Press to publish the second edition of my book, He Remembers the Barren, a story about the hope and contentment found only in Christ, no matter the cross we bear. Visit emmanuelpress.us to learn more. emmanuelpress.us.
Silicon Valley is a place of cutting-edge innovation which radically changes lives, where science fiction is already in research and development. In the heart of this digital chaos is a sanctuary of constancy and reverence, Hope Lutheran in Fremont, where nothing is new under the California sun, where the timeless gospel is proclaimed and the sacrament is celebrated with the historic liturgy that truly changes lives. And thanks to Silicon Valley, you may find us on the web at hopelutheranfremont.org.
You can teach lay people theology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
A year ago, my wife and I returned to America from 5 years of ministry in Karachi, Pakistan. I cannot adequately express how wonderful it was listening to Lutheran Public Radio's music broadcast each Sunday morning before church service. We still listen.
You can listen to Lutheran Public Radio, sacred music for the world, anytime, day or night, at LutheranPublicRadio.org, Amazon Echo, Google Home, and on the LPR mobile app.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy.